Amen. There was a little bird that refused to fly south for the winter. Instead of staying in Indiana, the bird said, you know what? I'm going to stay here. I'm not going in the south. I don't want to leave Indiana. So the bird stayed, and its wings froze, and it fell to the ground, and the bird couldn't move. To add insult to injury, along came a horse and relieved itself right on top of the bird. So the bird said, look, God, I know it's my fault. I know I should have left. I know winter was coming. It's my fault. I shouldn't have stayed here. I stayed here too long. My wings is frozen. But Lord, why did you have to give me this humiliation and let this horse relieve itself on top of me? It's just made my situation humiliating now. I feel bad. I feel horrible. And as the bird lay there complaining to God, the manure from the horse melted the ice that had immobilized the bird, delivering him from the bondage and freeing him to continue living. So we may find ourselves right now in that same mess of our own making. We know we should be making different choices, but somehow we didn't make those choices we should have made. We knew God was saying one thing, but instead we did our own thing. But because we love God and we can humble ourselves and seek his forgiveness and then depend on him, he proves time and time again he can make a way. Yes. So I want you to just high five somebody real quick and help me announce my text. Work with me. I'm unbothered. He's working it out for me. He's working it out for me. God is so good. He's working it out for me. So we're going to get in this thing as we embark on this journey, y'all, of being unbothered for the next 4 weeks or so. This is what my goal is, that everyone in here gets to a point in their life where they're unbothered. So what do I mean by unbothered? The definition of unbothered is showing or feeling a lack of concern about or interest in something. So I want us to become unbothered. But what do I want us to become unbothered about? Because there's certain things that should bother us. Amen. And there's certain things we should be unbothered about. So what are those things? I want you to be unbothered in your trials. That's good. Because trials are going to come. This life, we live on this earth. We can't get away from them. So we want to be unbothered in our trials. Then we want to move to being unbothered into our temptations. So when temptations come, Jesus said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We want to be unbothered when temptations come. Then we also want to be unbothered in our finances. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I could use some more finance in my life. Praise God. I want to be unbothered in my finance also. I want to get to the point that my faith is so strong in Jesus that things that used to make me worry now make me worship. Yeah, y'all missing right there. Yeah, I want to get so far in Jesus that things used to give me pain, I just turn them into praise. I can thank God for all this pain and anything that's going on in my life. I want to get so unbothered that when I was going through hell, I can shout hallelujah. Come on, somebody. I want to get unbothered. So today we find ourselves in chapter 8 of the book of Romans, a scripture that I felt has become a cliche in Christianity. We know the scripture well. We know Romans 8 and 28 is something that we see all the time. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And people quote this scripture all the time. But I think they don't have a real understanding of the scripture. I heard people just quote the beginning. All things going to work together for your good. Just trying to console somebody. Well, it's more to it than that. You got to look at the Bible. When you read the scripture, you got to use every word. You can't leave out words and this and that. You got to use the whole scripture. So with the proper context, you can't make that statement. The late Dr. E.K. Bailey, who was one of the founders of the Concord Missionary Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, he had this to say about this verse. Check this out. This verse is inclusive, exclusive, and conclusive. Yeah. Inclusive, exclusive, and conclusive. Say, Pastor, what you talking about? So I'm about to show y'all. So it is inclusive in that it includes a certain group of people. The verse said, and we know. Well, who is we?
That's it. Yes.
We is people who believe in Jesus Christ.
Right.
That he died on the cross for our sins and have accepted him rising from the dead for our salvation. That is who the we are. So we are inclusive and we are the we who believe in Jesus. It is exclusive in that it excludes those who keep rejecting Jesus.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, so this verse don't apply to everybody.
Wow, that's good.
We can't stand on a promise that don't belong to us.
Ooh, that's good.
See, this is a conditional promise. All my Christians should have shouted right there because everybody can't claim that. Everybody can't claim everything will work out all good in my life because everybody don't know God and don't love God. So it is exclusive. And the last part of about it is conclusive in that it doesn't say we know this might happen. No.
set them right.
We know that God is behind the scenes working it out for our good and our bad.
Yes.
It don't say might. It don't say maybe. It says all things
work
together for the good of those who love God. So we must understand that. See, people try to argue the perfect will of God and the permissible will of God. The perfect will of God and the permissible will of God. There is nothing that can happen in this world unless God allows it or God arranged it.
That's it.
Nothing can happen. God is in control. I don't know. We like to say the devil is busy and the devil is this. No, no, no. He can't do it unless God allows him to do it.
Yes.
If you read the book of Job, it's clear the devil was trying to say, go up and down, to and fro. God said, what are you doing? He said, well, I cannot touch your servant Job. And God released the hedge around Job. God allowed the enemy to come in. The devil can't do nothing without God's permission. We got to get to the point where we realize that we got a big God dealing with a little bitty devil.
Yes.
We like to reverse it. We think it's a big devil dealing with a little bit of God. No, 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 baby. God is too big for that. So we got to understand that when nothing can happen without God is allowing it, then he's working something together for our good, y'all.
Yes, yes.
See, God has purpose in all that he does, no matter if even evil or bad happens in our life.
See,
he works with us. A lot of y'all know our testimony, and we share it openly because God is real that our 7-month-old baby died. She was perfectly healthy, y'all. We went to the park that day, had a good time, slid down the slides, went and got Slurpees and Icy's. We had a great time chilling, her and Destiny sliding down the slide. Everything was beautiful, we thought, that day on April 22nd. We went to bed. We woke up April 23rd. She was not breathing the next morning. And that was dramatic, no doubt. And it's like, how does this work? God, I love you. I just got saved. I love you, God. Why is this going on in my life? It just doesn't make sense. And then we get to the point now, she's passed away. Jennifer gets pregnant again a month later with Miracle.
That's it.
And then Miracle's born. And guess what, y'all? I can kind of sense a fear over my wife.
Uh-huh.
Because we just went through a traumatic experience.
That's it. Yeah.
How do I go to sleep?
That's it.
You know, we talked about this. I'm scared to go to sleep now because my baby just passed away. And all of us got to go to sleep, amen.
Amen.
We're going to drive ourselves crazy staying up all night. So I said, look here, baby, this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray, and we're going to cover this baby in the blood of Jesus. That's all we can do. I can't control everything, but I can control what I can control, amen. See, I got to let God be God. We're going to pray and cover this baby. And guess what? I tell you now, that baby's back there with the baby. She's 9 years old. God blessed to have another baby, and he's a son, and he's 8 years old. So it don't matter, we can't control everything, but control what you can control, amen? You got to be God, let God be God. We can't be God. We mess up when we try to be God, and it turns us into all kind of craziness. So look here, you can't tell me nothing that God won't work it out because he turns us our pain into praise.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
God is so good, God. He's so good and so kind. So as we move on, we're going to jump over to chapter, verse 29 real quick. And 30, it says this. From who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, that he also called, whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, he also glorified. I know it sounds like I was rapping right there with all that fire and God and all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you what God's talking about right here. So we see two things in this verse. I'm going to deal with the latter first real quick. Because it says conform to the image of his son. Conform. So God's ultimate goal is to make us like Christ.
That's right.
That's what he wants to do. Make us like Christ. And then he says, how do we become more like Christ? See, the more we become like Christ, we actually discover our true selves.
Yes.
The person we were created to be. Because we're going to be conformed to some image. The TV gonna tell you what image you should be. Hip hop's gonna tell you you should be a thug or a gangster. Something's gonna conform us to an image. You know what I mean? Little girls gonna see Cardi B and think that's the image I'm supposed to be. So we're all being conformed. So God wants to conform us to the image of his son. But the question is, how do I become conformed to Christ's likeness? I'm glad y'all asked. By heeding to his word and reading his word. Don't minimize reading your Bible. Don't minimize it. I talk to so many Christians, you'd be surprised they don't pick up their word. That's where your strength is. That's where your power is. Jesus is the word of God.
That's it.
The word was from the beginning. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. The word is Jesus. So how can we learn to live like Jesus when we don't pick up what Jesus said?
That's good.
Study his life on earth through the gospels. Whenever I talk to people, I say, get familiar with the gospels. This is Jesus' life, how he walked the earth, what he did, what he taught. Don't take nobody's word for it. Read for yourself.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
Being filled with his spirit and by doing his work in the world is how we become conformed to the image of God. So what does conform mean? To be in similar form of nature and character. And guess what? That don't happen by chance.
Amen.
You just ain't going to wake up and say, I'm conforming the image of God. No. It's going to take some time. It's like you see people that go to the gym all the time. They didn't work out and got the body they wanted. Guess what? They just didn't wake up and it happened. It took some time. It took some dedication. It took some preservation. It took some time. So the same way we work out our natural bodies, we got to work out our spiritual man too. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So the two verses have people debating for a long time, because some people believe in these verses that before the beginning of the world, God chose certain people to be saved to receive the gift of salvation. Mm-hmm. So, because he says God foreknew. So God already knew who was going to be saved. And so he chose those people to be saved and receive the gift of salvation. And it is scripture to support that theory. It is, no doubt. Give you one real quick. Ephesians 1 and 11. In him also, who we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Amen. So look at, he said inheritance, we predestined, the purpose of working all things into the counsel of God's will. So that's what people believe. God has already picked and already decided who is who. But other believers believe that God foreknew who would make a response to him upon Jesus. So he set that mark upon them to be predestined, which makes sense as well, because God knows the beginning and the end.
Yes, it does.
And since he already knows who was going to pick him, he says, I'll pick you before you pick me, because I already know who's going to pick me. Ain't God a bad man? God's mad, ain't he? You think you're picking me, but I'm picking you first because I know your heart. I know you're going to pick me anyway. So, but that's a whole thing, a theological argument. We can spend all day and years there. But the point of it is this. Check this out. Instead of worrying about that, one thing we know for sure is that God had a purpose and plan. It was not an afterthought for him to love us. So before the foundation of the world was set up, God already knew, I love these people, I'm going to save them, and I'm going to take care of them. So people who serve and honor God, check this out. If you believe in Christ, you can rejoice in the fact God has always known you. God's love is eternal. I'm happy, I'm excited, because I know God has always loved me. I know he has wisdom and power and reign supreme. So I can be unbothered because I know God will guide me and protect me. I can be unbothered because I know I can stand in his presence and he justifies me. And if I'm justified, I'm glorified. Do you know what it means to be justified? Let me give y'all a quick example real quick. The Bible calls that we are justified by our faith. He counts our faith as righteousness. So justified means this, because we're all guilty. We all have sinned, right? The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we all have sinned. So what Christ did when he died and came for us and paid the penalty for our sin, he now justified us. So I'm not innocent because I did it.
Amen.
I'm not guilty, but I should be, because I did do it.
Yes.
So Jesus steps in and says, you know what? I got them. They justified.
Right.
So shout it and thank God right there that I've been justified before the Father. So when the enemy brings up my sins, my past, my old life, any wrong thing I done did, I can stand before God and say, I'm conformed to the image of Christ. God don't even see me no more. He sees the Son. God loves us that much, y'all. And that's why he sent his Son. Amen.
Amen.
All right, real quick. We're going to drop the verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
Yeah, somebody can shout it out
there.
Yeah, you can be unbothered right there, that whole verse right there, because if God be for us, who can be against us? So I put a little something right there. You should tell somebody right now, I'm a one-man army.
Amen.
You can't even mess with me. I'm a one-man army, because me and God make a majority. If it's me and God, can't nothing come against me. Me and God is enough for the whole world. Amen. Me and God. Okay. I'm trying to help somebody out here. The psalmist said it like this. Even though an evil camp arounds me, my heart will know no fear. I will remain confident in this. So even when an evil people encamp around about me, my heart will know no fear. Okay, maybe somebody, grandma told him like this. You should not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence in the darkness, nor the destruction with the noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side. 10,000 shall fall at your right side. It don't matter who's against us. If God's for me, I'm unbothered. It doesn't matter. God gonna handle that situation. So if God is with me, it don't matter who's against me. That's the confidence we have in Christ, y'all. God is so awesome. So real quick, we're gonna go to the next verse. And let's look what he's saying in verse 32 through 34. It says, He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Mm-hmm. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Mm-hmm. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies.
Yes, Lord.
Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Woo.
Amen.
Y'all getting ready right here, y'all. That's a lot. That's heavy right there. I'm unbothered because if God is willing to give up his own son for me, that means he's willing to give me everything.
Yeah. That's it.
If he's willing to give up his son for me,
that's it.
We ain't giving up our kids.
I'm not.
Yeah, amen, hallelujah. We ain't giving up our kids to nobody. If he was willing to spare his son, what do you think God gonna hold back from you? What is he not gonna give you? His own flesh and blood. Okay, I'm gonna give this illustration. Maybe this will help you. Okay. So it was a wealthy man whose estate was being sold. Wealthy man got all this money, about to sell his whole estate. It's being sold at an auction, y'all. So at an auction, about to sell his whole estate. And this is what he said. He said, the auctioneer said, before we get started, we can't sell any of this other stuff. Somebody has to, we have to put the portrait of his son up first. That's the first item that must be auctioned off. So he opened up the bidding, $1,000. Everybody looking around, I'm not buying this picture of this man's son. I see good stuff back there. I'm trying to get that gold, that jewelry. I see all this other stuff back there. I'm not buying that. So the auctioneer's trying to get him off. He drops it down to $500. Anybody trying to buy it? Anybody trying to buy it? Nobody wants the picture of his son. He goes down again. Anybody? We down to $100. Anybody going to buy the picture of the son? The people are getting frustrated now because they want to get to the good stuff. But they got this ugly picture of this man's son up here, and they're trying to get to the good stuff. So he gets all the way down. So he says, you know what? Finally, a man says, you know what? I feel that I get it. I'll buy it for $1. They sell this picture of the man's son for $1. The auctioneer closes the auction. Everybody upset and mad and angry. Why are you going to close the auction? I want the gold. I want the jewels. Well, the man left in his will that whoever buys the picture of his son gets everything else. If God will give you his son, you got everything else. Don't let nothing else matter. You got to get to the point that we get God's son. If I have his son, I'm good. I almost feel like preaching now because the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So if I got Christ, I got it all. Don't let the world confuse you. They think if you got money, you got it all. If I got girls, I got it all. If I got drugs, I got whatever. No, if I got Christ, I got it all. Because it comes with peace and eternal life. Verse 33. Okay. Who can bring a charge against God's elect? Ooh, who can? Paul's asking a question. He want to know himself. Who can bring a charge against? You know what a charge means? A charge means to have someone like put in jail, in prison. You know what a charge is? You know you can't get the charge. You gotta go see the judge. Who can put us? Who can give us? Who can charge God's elect? Paul right here is like, who can be successful in doing this? God has already declared us to be righteousness. Can't nobody declare us anything else because God has already said it. Amen. And then he gets 34th verse. Then he says, who is he who condemns? To be condemned, to be sentenced. See, the charge was the charge. Now, to be condemned means to be sentenced, whether it's to be beaten, punishment, death, whatever it may be. But who is he who condemns? It is Christ. Look at this. Verse 34. It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us.
Thank you, Lord.
Who is he who condemns us?
Thank you, Lord.
The four reasons right here I got that the believer can never be found guilty. And he goes through them in a verse. It said, it is Christ who died. So if it is Christ who died, check that out. Christ's death makes nobody can make a charge against me. Because he died, whatever you said, another void, it don't matter no more. Then Paul says, and furthermore, he's also risen.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
So now he's resurrected. So now he got power from the grave, which means he gives me the power to fight over my sins. So then he says, I got power to fight my sin now. You can't bring a charge against me. And then it says, check this out. He's at the right hand of God. Woo!
Amen.
He's been exalted to a position that nobody can have or take from him. He's at the right hand of the Father. So Jesus now, after he died, was buried, resurrected, he sits at the right hand of God. He ain't moving from that seat. And the last part, why you can't bring nothing against a believer, it says this, who also makes intercession for us.
Yes.
Do you know Jesus praying for you right now?
Yes.
You ain't got a guardian angel. You got a guardian savior, amen. He's sitting right there at the throne right now. I know they messed up, Father God. I know they messed up, Father, but look at me. I'm right here. They said they sorry. They asked for forgiveness, Father God. Give them strength. He's making intercession for you right there at the right hand of God.
Amen, Lord.
Nothing gets better than that we know that our Savior is praying for us.
That's it.
Day in and day out.
That's it.
Hallelujah. We're going to get to verse 35 and 36 right here. It says this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Shall tribulation or distress?
That's it.
Or persecution?
Mm-hmm.
Or famine? Or nakedness? Or peril? Or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
You got to understand this, Paul. This is when Christianity is moving now. It's just the first century. So you got the Roman centurion, the Roman guards, and I like this new movement. This Jesus didn't mess them up. Now he rose from the grave. Stuff is really shaking down. So they are facing persecution. Later on, Nero's coming, and Nero was a cold-blooded emperor. He even beheaded Paul. Nero doesn't care. He even did all kind of evil things. Later on, blaming Christians. So Paul's kind of even forewarning them, like, it's going to get worse, y'all. Because we believe in Jesus, it's going to get worse. But listen to what he says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Notice it didn't say, who shall separate Christ's love from us?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it don't say that. Because Jesus' love ain't going nowhere.
That's it, man. That's it.
But who shall separate you from the love of Christ?
Yeah, that's good.
Because his love ain't going nowhere.
Uh-huh.
He loved you. He died. He proved his love.
Uh-huh.
But what's going to separate us?
Wow.
What are we going to do? See, his love has been exemplified on the cross. So the question that we have to always remain is, what am I going to let get in the way of me and Jesus?
Wow.
Look at the list that Paul gave. Let's look at the list. Tribulation. What is tribulation? Anguish or trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, trials is coming, y'all. Tribulation, trials is part of life. You alive, you're going to face them. And you don't get to pick the trials you face.
Jesus.
You don't get to pick that. You can't be God. You don't pick that. But I promise this, as long as you're alive and breathing, anguish and trouble is coming in one way, shape, form, or another. So is that going to separate us from the love of Christ?
Jesus.
Distress. Being burdened.
Mm-hmm.
Burdens are coming. That's why Jesus said, take up my yoke.
Mm-hmm.
Learn of me. For my burdens is easy and my yoke is light.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus came to take them burdens from us. He came to help us. But
we get
so burdened down when we lose focus off the Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're struggling and in trouble and can't get to where we need to be.
Jesus.
Persecution. What does persecution mean? It means to exterminate. Paul, like this, they coming to kill y'all eventually. We in America, we ain't got so bougie.
Yeah.
So we don't face that kind of tribulation, so we don't think about it.
Uh-huh.
But it's people in China having church underground right now so they don't get killed.
People
in Egypt having church underground right now so they don't get their head chopped off.
Jesus.
So we don't know. We got free reign. How about that, y'all feel? The country that can freely worship me won't even worship me. The country that can freely give me praise won't give me 2 hours on Sunday. The country that can freely give it all to me won't stand up for my righteousness. The country that can change the world won't do nothing.
Help us, Lord.
I'm not even sure America is a Christian country anymore.
Wow. That's it.
Amen.
We need revival here.
Amen.
We have lost our way.
Yeah.
And countries, Africa, another place you see all these miracles, all these great things happen because they serving God. They loving God for real.
Yeah,
persecution is there. They being faced. So is persecution going to take you out? Because we do face some persecution. Some people will try to make you deny your faith. Some people will make you feel wrong for being a Christian and not standing up for righteousness. But when you stand up, or will you bow down to what they're doing?
Mm.
What is famine? Scarcity of food. Hard times. No food. Paul, there's going to be some hard times. Y'all going to be on the run. Y'all ain't going to have no food. Maybe our famine may not be food. Maybe it may be lack of money.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to separate us from the love of God? Nakedness, nudity. And we don't have to face that, praise God. But they had to get to going sometimes. I ain't got time to grab no clothes. They come to get me today.
Wow.
I got to bust a move. Hop out the window. They going to kill me. Something that they faced in the first century, we don't have to face that. But what is peril? Danger and destruction.
Wow.
Yep. This is a list of things Paul's going to say. What's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Because we can't get away from these things. Danger and destruction. That's a bad combination right there.
Yes.
Then swords. People of having weapons. What is going to separate us from the love of Christ? Because Christ's love ain't separated from you.
That's it.
Then we get down here to Apostle Paul, that tent maker from Tarsus. Said these beautiful things right here in verse 37. Yet in all things,
yes,
we are more than conquerors through him who loves us.
Amen.
Yeah, somebody should have shouted right there. In all things, we are more than conquerors. So if I'm more than a conqueror, that means I'm undefeated. That means I'm winning. That gives me the ability to be unbothered because I am more than a conqueror. Amen. So I am more, but I'm only more than a conqueror. Again, it's intentional. You got to look at the verse, through him who loved us. If I don't love him who loved me, I can't conquer.
Yeah, that's true.
For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. Look at what he's saying. Death or life. Either way, I'm rolling with Jesus. I'm rolling while I'm here, and I'm rolling with him when I'm in the grave. Nothing separate me from him. Nor angels or principalities. Evil forces in the world trying to take us out, trying to get us somewhere. Because you know, demons are real.
Yes, they are.
I can't believe in God in heaven and don't believe in the hell and demons.
Yeah.
Okay. Demons are real. They are real. I know I'm probably stepping some toes real quick, and I don't care. Some of y'all probably listened to the Carter 5 this week. Praise God. He do got a song called Demons on there. Demons on Demand. Why are you talking about that? Why do you have demons on demand?
Jesus.
But we will put this in our earbuds and let it speak to us. And get that stuff in our brain and in our spirit. Because music is powerful, y'all. You can't reject music. That's why you know songs you hate. That's another song. Y'all ain't playing with me. I don't know why y'all playing with me. No, you hate that song. And can sing it all day. You hate it. Why? Because music is so powerful. It overpowers your brain. You can't reject it when the beat's to it.
That's it.
So you got to be careful. That's what helped me when I first got saved. I had to put the hip hop down. God delivered me from that. I came and gave away 200 CDs. I said, you know what, God? I don't want this no more. This stuff is in my spirit. How am I going to stop cussing if I keep listening to cussing all day? How am I going to quit smoking weed if I keep listening to people getting high all day? How am I going to quit drinking? How am I going to quit doing this? How am I going to quit fornicating? If that's what I'm listening to all day, how am I going to do that? And we wonder why we got no power.
Jesus.
And we want to blame the devil. No, it's you and your music.
I ain't
praying with me. It's all good. It's all good. We'll deal with that another day. But no angels nor demons. Nor things present, nor things to come. He's saying nothing in front of me gonna stop me from worshiping Jesus, and nothing that's coming gonna stop me from worshiping Jesus.
Yes.
So my mind gotta be made up, y'all.
That's it.
I have to have my mind made up that I'm serving God no matter what.
That's it.
No matter who comes my way or whatever. Look at this. He says, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing created shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
So Paul is writing these words to the first century church, but also to us.
Yes, Lord.
Let us know that suffering should make us run to God and not away from God.
Jesus, that's good.
Suffering is not set up to make you run away from God. No. We was riding the car this morning, and I felt that in my spirit. Kirk Franklin said this: if you didn't go through the storm, you wouldn't even pray. Woo! If God didn't allow some storms in your life, you wouldn't even hit your knees. If everything was good and great, you wouldn't thank God, you wouldn't pray to God, you wouldn't cry until you keep living your life rolling how you rolling. He got to allow the storm sometimes to get you back on track. Amen. So the list that Paul, the list that Apostle Paul gives us of experiences are persons and people and things that can't separate us from the love of God. So Paul had went through this problem. He experienced all this. Paul was beaten. He was whipped. He was put in jail. He had all the issues going on. Enemies were trying to, he had spirits coming against him while he was trying to do the work of God. So Paul had experienced all these things that he's talking about. So it's not just a theory, but it's personal testimony.
Yeah, that's it.
Woo.
That's good.
So you got to have a testimony. See, it's your testimony is how you're able to testify how good God is.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know, if he doesn't bring you out of something, how can you declare it to somebody else?
Jesus, that's good.
How do you know he's real?
That's good.
So Paul was writing, he's penning this inspired by the Holy Spirit, but he's giving my testimony. I'm thinking, like, you know what? I love God so much. I love Jesus so much. I don't care what it was. I'm gonna cover everything from A to Z, from everything on earth to everything in the universe to everything in heaven to everything underneath. Can't nothing separate me from the love of God, y'all.
Amen.
So being unbothered, check this out. I'm almost done. It is not about being fake and acting like things don't hurt.
All right.
That's not. I don't want you to get it. Don't get it confused. Don't get it twisted. Unbothered is not about being fake and acting like everything's okay when you broke it inside. No, 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 sweetie. No, no, no. Because things hurt in life. Amen. It's some pain sometimes. But it's about putting our faith and trust in the one that holds the world in his hands. I'm unbothered because even if I don't understand his plan, I know he's in control. Even if it don't make no sense to me, God said, I know the plans I have for you. Thoughts of good, not of evil, but to give you future and a hope and an expected end. God knows what he's doing. So I'm unbothered because I know what he's doing.
Yes.
Amen. Brother, I'm right here about to get ready to close. Oprah Winfrey was doing an interview with Elizabeth Edwards, who is now going to be with the Lord back in 2010. She was the wife of Senator John Edwards. Shortly after she was diagnosed with cancer, y'all, Oprah asked her, how you feeling? How was she feeling? That's what Oprah wanted to know. And Elizabeth responded that she was still experiencing a lot of pain from her broken rib. Oprah asked her about her cancer. Mm-hmm. How you doing? She said, I'm still experiencing pain from my broken rib. And she quickly added that, I thank God for my broken rib. Oprah's puzzled. Why are you thanking God for your broken rib? See, she said, I thank God for my broken rib because that's what led me to go to the hospital. Wow. Then which led me to get an x-ray. Wow. Which then led me to get a bone scan. Wow. Which then led me to get a CT scan. Which then led the doctor to discover she had cancer. Yeah. And the doctor seen it early enough that they could fight it now.
Yeah.
So she told Oprah the broken rib was what put her in a better position to fight a bigger battle. Oh, my God. I'm unbothered about what's going on right now because I know what God is doing right now is preparing me for bigger battles. See, it doesn't matter with me. We won't experience some sense of brokenness in our life, y'all, but it's God's way of showing us mercy, and stress won't fix anything. God is either going to bring us out on earth or he's going to let us get to heaven and experience glory. Amen. So I'm unbothered. Why? Because he's Alpha and Omega.
Yeah.
I'm unbothered because he's beginning and end. Yeah. I'm unbothered because he's a bridge over troubled water. I'm unbothered because he's peace in the midst of chaos. I'm unbothered because he's the author and finisher of my faith.
Yeah.
God has came. God loves us. And God wants us to be unbothered because he got us. We are in his hand. And can't no man pluck us out of his hand. You got to praise. Amen. Glory, glory to God. We thank you, O God. We praise you, O God. We worship you, O God. I thank you, Father God, for having your way today.
Yes, thank you.
We thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy.
You.
I don't know where you stand in your relationship with Christ, but I do know this, that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So if you have not made a decision on making Jesus your personal Lord and Savior, what better day than today? God loves you. He ain't never stopped praying. He loves you. He's right there. He's waiting on you to make that step forward. God is right there. He's out. He said, I stand at the door and knock on any man's heart. And he opened up. I come in. I abide with him. I sup with him.
Yeah.
I'm right there. I love you. I commanded you.
Yeah.
We read that earlier, Psalms 100. He who created us, not we ourselves.
Yes.
He loves you. He wants you to experience your best life and your best life with him. So if you do not know Jesus in the pardon of your sins, today will be a great day to come and say, you know what, God, I'm living for you. I'm giving my life to you. Or maybe you do know Jesus. Maybe you are saved, but you're looking for a church home. We would love to have you here in New Creation Church. God has blessed us as a new church. We are thankful for everything God is doing in our lives. We would love you. Lady Thompson and I would love to have you here with us as we continue to learn and grow and be what God has called us to be. But God wants to get you to a certain place, y'all.
That's it.
Guess what? It takes faith.
That's it.
Old school say it like this, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make a drink.
That's real.
You got to do your part, too.
Yeah.
I can go hook up a Thanksgiving dinner right now and put the turkey dressing, macaroni and cheese, sweet potatoes, pecan pie, sweet potato pie, whatever you like. But if you go pick that fork up and put that food in your mouth, you're not going to eat.
That's real.
You're going to starve.
That's real.
God does supernatural things, but he requires us to do something natural.
Yes.
Give him your heart, and he's going to give you his hand.
That's it.
Give him your heart.
That's it.
You already in his heart.
Yeah.
Give him your heart,
yeah,
and he's going to give you his hand.
Yeah.
So if you need Jesus, today is the day. Now, if you're looking for a church home, somebody to cover you, somebody to pray for you, that's what we're here for. To love on you, to pray for you, to encourage you to be what God has called you to be. That's what we're here for. Or maybe you need special prayer. Maybe say, you know what, Pastor, I just need some prayer. I'm in the valley of decisions. We're here. We can pray with you. But whatever you stand in the need of, we are here. I just know I wouldn't go back home. I say this a lot, and I mean it. I'm not about to go back home, go to church, and worship and where God is present and get in his presence and go back home feeling the same way that I came. You should feel better when you leave here. You should be convicted when you leave here. You should say, God, I'm going to do better. God, I love you. I want to get closer to you. I need you. And you say, y'all know me. I don't be up here. I ain't trying to scare you into heaven. That's between you and God. I don't do that. But I know if you hear God, he's speaking to you. You better get up and bust a move. But I don't, none of us know how many days we got left. I had a pastor friend of mine last night, put on Facebook, it's messed up. I just met this guy, he's in L.A. I just met him. He said, it's messed up when you get a phone call Saturday night, one of your members passed away. Imagine the service he got to preach this morning.
Jesus.
That is real. It's real. None of us know. None of us know. Not a scare tactic, but it's real. None of us know. All of us have got a phone call that have messed up our world.
That's it.
What, how, when, and where, and why.
Yeah.
So all of us are on borrowed time, y'all.
Amen.
So if you know you need Jesus, I beseech you, I stand like Paul, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Last time, is there anyone you need to be saved? You need to look, you need a church home, or you just want some special prayer? Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Okay. Amen. All right. Is anybody else? I'm going to give y'all the chance before we pray. Going once. Going twice. All right. Praise God. We're going to pray real quick. Amen. Hallelujah. Dear Lord, we just come right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God. For shining, Father God. We thank you, oh God, for having the strength, oh God, to come up here and desire prayer, Father God. Y'all, we pray too. We thank you, Father God, that you have your way in her life, Father God. And whatever she desires and she needs from you, Father God, that you strengthen her, oh God. Give her strength like never before, oh God. We pray, oh God, for healing, oh God, and her body, oh God. Pray, oh God, you continue to encourage her spirit, oh God. You continue to strengthen her, oh God. Help her to abide in you, Father God. Let her know, Father God, that you have called her to conform to the image of your Son in the name of Jesus, Father God. I know trials and tribulations may come, oh God, but we stand and believe that all things are working together for her good right now in the name of Jesus. We declare favor, we declare blessing over her, her husband, her family, Father God. Cover them all with your blood in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you have your perfect work in them right now, Father God. We declare that we believe it and we decree it, Father God. So have mercy, oh God. Give them strength, oh God. Bless them in everything they do, in everything they touch, Father God. And we thank you, oh God, for the victory that is in you, Father God. We thank you, oh God, for the victory that is in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Bless you. Yes, bless you. Bless you. Amen. Amen. All right. Amen. Praise God. Y'all enjoy service today?
Amen.
Praise God. I'm glad I did. I was up to 4 in the morning, y'all. rough. But God is good. Amen.
Amen.
It's good all the time. So we don't get ready to do our offering, amen. If you do not have an envelope, please talk tithes on the offering. If you do not have an envelope, please raise your hand. One of our ushers will be glad to get you one. Some envelopes over here. If you are using your debit card, see Lady Thomas right there on the outside of the door. The internet connection here is kind of bad, so if you will meet her right outside of the door, she will help you. We got some envelopes that are needed over here. Ushers are bringing them to you right now. Hallelujah. And we're going to get ready. Amen. We're going to have a quick announcement real quick before, while you're getting your offering ready as well. By Ms. Malone. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I just want to say, you know, it's Pastor and First Lady anniversary. What, 12 years? 12 years.
Amen.
12 years. Next month. Every week, next week, we're going to be collecting for them so they can take their kids and wife and get them something to eat.
All right.
Okay, you know, we don't pay. The pastor don't get paid, but he's...
Amen. There was a little bird that refused to fly south for the winter. Instead of staying in Indiana, the bird said, you know what, I'm going to stay here. I'm not going in the south. I don't want to leave Indiana. So the bird stayed and his wings froze and it fell to the ground and the bird couldn't move. To add insult to injury, along came a horse and relieved itself right on top of the bird. So the bird said, look, God, I know it's my fault. I know I should have left. I know winter was coming. It's my fault. I shouldn't have stayed here. I stayed here too long. My wings is frozen. But Lord, why did you have to give me this humiliation and let this horse relieve itself on top of me? It should make my situation humiliating now. I feel bad. I feel horrible. And as the bird lay there complaining to God, the manure from the horse melted the ice that had immobilized the bird, delivering him from the bondage and freeing him to continue living. So we may find ourselves right now in that same mess of our own making. We know we should be making different choices, but somehow we didn't make those choices we should have made. We knew God was saying one thing, but instead we did our own thing. But because we love God and we can humble ourselves and seek his forgiveness and then depend on him, he proves time and time again he can make a way. So why don't you just high five somebody real quick and help me announce my text. Work with me. I'm unbothered. He's working it out for me. He's working it out for me. God is so good. He's working it out for me. So we're going to get in this thing as we embark on this journey, y'all, of being unbothered for the next 4 weeks or so. This is what my goal is, that everyone in here gets to a point in their life where they're unbothered. So what do I mean by unbothered? The definition of unbothered is showing or feeling a lack of concern about or interest in something. So I want us to become unbothered. But what do I want us to become unbothered about? Because there's certain things that should bother us. Amen. And there's certain things we should be unbothered about. So what are those things? I want you to be unbothered in your trials. Because trials are going to come. This life, we live on this earth, we can't get away from them. So we want to be unbothered in our trials. Then we want to move to being unbothered into our temptations. So when temptations come, Jesus said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We want to be unbothered when temptations come. Then we also want to be unbothered in our finances. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I could use some more finance in my life. Praise God. I want to be unbothered in my finance also. I want to get to the point that my faith is so strong in Jesus that things that used to make me worry now make me worship.
Amen.
Y'all missed that right there. Yeah, I want to get so far in Jesus that things used to give me pain, I just turn them into praise. I can thank God for all this pain and anything that's going on in my life. I want to get so unbothered that when I was going through hell, I can shout hallelujah. Come on, somebody. I want to get unbothered. So today we find ourselves in chapter 8 of the book of Romans, a scripture that I felt has become a cliche in Christianity. We know the scripture well. We know Romans 8 and 28 is something that we see all the time. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And people quote this scripture all the time. But I think they don't have a real understanding of the scripture. I heard people just quote the beginning. All things going to work together for your good. They're trying to console somebody. Well, it's more to it than that. You got to look at the Bible. When you're reading the scripture, you got to use every word. You can't leave out words and this and that. You got to use the whole scripture. So with the proper context, you can't make that statement. The late Dr. E.K. Bailey, who was one of the founders of the Concord Missionary Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, he had this to say about this verse. Check this out. This verse is inclusive, exclusive, and conclusive. Yeah. Inclusive, exclusive, and conclusive. Say, Pastor, what you talking about? So I'm about to show y'all. So it is inclusive in that it includes a certain group of people. The verse said, and we know. Well, who is we?
That's it. Yes.
We as people who believe in Jesus Christ.
Right.
That he died on the cross for our sins and have accepted him rising from the dead for our salvation. That is who the we are. So we are inclusive when we are the we who believe in Jesus. It is exclusive in that it excludes those who keep rejecting Jesus.
Oh. Ooh,
so this verse don't apply to everybody.
Wow, that's good.
We can't stand on a promise that don't belong to us.
Ooh, that's good.
See, this is a conditional promise. All my Christians should have shouted right there because everybody can't claim that. Everybody can't claim everything will work out all good in my life because everybody don't know God and don't love God. So it is exclusive. And the last part of about it is conclusive in that it doesn't say we know this might happen.
Right.
We know that God is behind the scenes working it out for our good and our bad.
Yes.
It don't say might. It don't say maybe. It says all things work together for the good of those who love God. So we must understand that. See, people try to argue the perfect will of God and the permissible will of God. The perfect will of God and the permissible will of God. There's nothing that can happen in this world unless God allows it or God arranged it. Nothing can happen. God is in control. I know we like to say the devil is busy and the devil is this. No. He can't do it unless God allows him to do it. If you read the book of Job, it's clear the devil was trying to say, go up and down, to and fro. God said, what are you doing? He said, well, I cannot touch your servant Job. And God released the hedge around Job. God allowed the enemy to come in. The devil can't do nothing without God's permission. We got to get to the point where we realize that we got a big God dealing with a little bitty devil.
Yes.
We like to reverse it. We think it's a big devil dealing with a little bit of God. No, baby. God is too big for that. So we got to understand that when nothing can happen without God is allowing it, then he's working something together for our good, y'all. See, God has purpose in all that he does, don't matter if even evil or bad happens in our life. See, he works it out. So a lot of y'all know our testimony. And we share it openly because God is real that our 7-month-old baby died. She was perfectly healthy, y'all. We went to the park that day, had a good time, slid down the slides, went and got Slurpees and Icy's. We had a great time chilling, her and Destiny sliding down the slide. Everything was beautiful, we thought, that day on April 22nd. We went to bed. We woke up April 23rd. She was not breathing the next morning. And that was dramatic, no doubt. And it's like, how does this work? God, I love you. I just got saved. I love you, God. Why is this going on in my life? It just doesn't make sense. And then we get to the point now, she's passed away. Jennifer gets pregnant again a month later with Miracle.
That's it.
And then Miracle's born. And guess what, y'all? I can kind of sense a fear over my wife. Uh-huh. Because we just went through a traumatic experience.
That's it. Yeah.
How do I go to sleep?
That's it.
You know, we talked about this. I'm scared to go to sleep now because my baby just passed away. And all of us got to go to sleep, amen. We're going to drive ourselves crazy staying up all night. So I said, look here, baby, this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray, and we're going to cover this baby in the blood of Jesus. That's all we can do. I can't control everything, but I can control what I can control, amen. See, I got to let God be God. We're going to pray and cover this baby. And guess what? I tell you now, that baby's back there with the baby. She's 9 years old. God bless us to have another baby, and he's a son, and he's 8 years old. So it don't matter, we can't control everything, but control what you can control, amen? You got to be God, let God be God. We can't be God. We mess up when we try to be God, and it turns us into all kind of craziness. So look here, you can't tell me nothing that God won't work it out because he turns us our pain into praise.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
God is so good, God. He's so good and so kind. So as we move on, we're going to jump over to chapter, verse 29 real quick. In 30, it says this. From who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, that he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. I know it sounded like I was rapping right there with all that fire and God and all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you what God's talking about right here. So we see two things in this verse. I'm going to deal with the latter first real quick. Because it says conform to the image of his son. Conform. So God's ultimate goal is to make us like Christ. That's what he wants to do. Make us like Christ. And then he says, how do we become more like Christ? See, the more we become like Christ, we actually discover our true selves.
Yes.
The person we were created to be. Because we're going to be conformed to some image. The TV gonna tell you what image you should be.
Uh-huh.
Hip hop's gonna tell you should be a thug or a gangster. That's Something's gonna conform us to what image, you know what I mean? Little girls gonna see Cardi B and think that's the image I'm supposed to be. So we all being conformed. So God wants to conform us to the image of his son. But the question is, how do I become conformed to Christ's likeness? I'm glad y'all asked. By heeding to his word and reading his word. Don't minimize reading your Bible. Don't minimize it. I talk to so many Christians, you'd be surprised they don't pick up their word. That's where your strength is. That's where your power is. Jesus is the word of God.
That's it.
So the word was from the beginning. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. The word is Jesus. So how can we learn to live like Jesus when we don't pick up what Jesus said?
That's good.
Study his life on earth through the gospels. Whenever I talk to people, I say, get familiar with the gospels. This is Jesus' life, how he walked the earth, what he did, what he taught. Don't take nobody's word for it. Read for yourself.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
B Being filled with his spirit and by doing his work in the world is how we become conformed to the image of God. So what does conform mean? To be in similar form of nature and character. And guess what? That don't happen by chance.
Amen.
You just ain't gonna wake up and say, I'm conforming the image of God. No. It's gonna take some time. It's like you see people that go to the gym all the time, they didn't work out and got the body they wanted. Guess what? They just didn't wake up and it happened. It took some time, it took some dedication, it took some preservation, it took some time. So the same way we work out our natural bodies, we gotta work out our spiritual man too, amen.
Amen.
All right. So the two verses have people debating for a long time, because some people believe in these verses that before the beginning of the world, God chose certain people to be saved to receive the gift of salvation. Mm-hmm. So because he says God foreknew. So God already knew who was going to be saved. And so he chose those people to be saved and receive the gift of salvation. And it is scripture to support that theory. It is, no doubt. Give you one real quick. Ephesians 1 and 11. In him also, who we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Amen. So look, he said inheritance, we predestined, the purpose of working all things into the counsel of God's will. So that's what people believe. God has already picked and already decided who is who. But other believers believe that God foreknew who would make a response to him upon Jesus. So he set that mark upon them to be predestined, which makes sense as well, because God knows the beginning and the end. And since he already knows who was going to pick him, he says, I pick you before you pick me, because I already know who's going to pick me. Ain't God a bad man? God's mad, ain't he? You think you're picking me, but I'm picking you first because I know your heart. I know you're going to pick me anyway. So, but that's a whole thing, a theological argument. We can spend all day and years there. But the point of it is this. Check this out. Instead of worrying about that, one thing we know for sure is that God had a purpose and plan. It was not an afterthought for him to love us.
So before
the foundation of the world was set up, God already knew, I love these people, I'm going to save them, and I'm going to take care of them. So people who serve and honor God, check this out. If you believe in Christ, you can rejoice in the fact God has always known you. God's love is eternal. I'm happy, I'm excited, because I know God has always loved me. I know he has wisdom and power and reign supreme. So I can be unbothered because I know God will guide me and protect me. I can be unbothered because I know I can stand in his presence and he justifies me. And if I'm justified, I'm glorified. Do you know what it means to be justified? Let me give y'all a quick example real quick. The Bible calls that we are justified by our faith. He counts our faith as righteousness. So justified means this. Because we're all guilty, we all have sinned, right? The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we all have sinned. So what Christ did when he died and came for us and paid the penalty for our sin, he now justified us. So I'm not innocent because I did it.
Amen.
I'm not guilty. But I should be, because I did do it.
Yes.
So Jesus steps in and says, you know what? I got them. They justified.
Shout it
and thank God right there that I've been justified before the Father. So when the enemy brings up my sins, my past, my old life, any wrong thing I did, I can stand before God and say, I'm conformed to the image of Christ. God don't even see me no more. He sees his son. God loves us that much, y'all. And that's why he sent his son. Amen.
Amen. Thank
all right, real quick. We're going to jump to verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
Yeah, somebody can shout it right there.
Amen.
Yeah, you can be unbothered right there, that whole verse right there, because if God be for us, who can be against us? So I put a little something right there. You should tell somebody right now, I'm a one-man army.
Amen.
You can't even mess with me. I'm a one-man army, because me and God make a majority. If it's me and God, can't nothing come against me. Me and God is enough for the whole world. Amen. Me and God. Okay. I'm trying to help somebody out here. The psalmist said it like this. Even though an evil camp arounds me, my heart will know no fear. I will remain confident in this. So even when an evil people encamp around about me, my heart will know no fear. Okay, maybe somebody, grandma told him like this. You should not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence in the darkness, nor the destruction with the noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side. 10,000 shall fall at your right side. It don't matter who's against us. If God's for me, I'm unbothered. It doesn't matter. God gonna handle that situation. So if God is with me, it don't matter who's against me. That's the confidence we have in Christ, y'all. God is so awesome. So real quick, we're gonna go to the next verse. And let's look what he's saying in verse 32 through 34. It says, He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Mm-hmm. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Mm-hmm. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies.
Yes, Lord.
Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Woo. That's getting ready right here, y'all. That's a lot. That's heavy right there. I'm unbothered because if God is willing to give up his own son for me, that means he's willing to give me everything.
Yeah.
If he's willing to give up his son for me,
that's it.
Parents, we ain't giving up our kids. Yeah, amen, hallelujah. We ain't giving up our kids to nobody. If he was willing to spare his son, what do you think God gonna hold back from you?
Yeah,
what is he not gonna give you?
Nothing.
His own flesh and blood.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm gonna give this illustration. Maybe this will help you. Okay. So it was a wealthy man whose estate was being sold. Wealthy man got all this money. They're about to sell his whole estate. It's being sold at an auction, y'all. So at an auction, about to sell his whole estate. And this is what he said. He said, the auctioneer said, before we get started, we can't sell any of this other stuff. Somebody has to, we have to put the portrait of his son up first. That's the first item that must be auctioned off. So he opened up the bidding, $1,000. Everybody looking around, I'm not buying this picture of this man's son. I see good stuff back there. I'm trying to get that gold and that jewelry. I see all this other stuff back there. I'm not buying that. So the auctioneer trying to get him off. He drops it down to $500. Anybody trying to buy it? Anybody trying to buy it? Nobody wants the picture of his son. He goes down again. Anybody, we down to $100. Anybody gonna buy the picture of the son? The people are getting frustrated now because they want to get to the good stuff. But they got this ugly picture of this man's son up here, and they trying to get to the good stuff. So he gets all the way down. So he says, you know what? Finally, a man says, you know what? I feel that I get it. I'll buy it for $1. They sell this picture of the man's son for $1. The auctioneer closes the auction. Everybody upset and mad and angry. Why are you going to close the auction? I want the gold. I want the jewels. Well, the man left in his will that whoever buys the picture of his son gets everything else. If God will give you his son, you got everything else. Don't nothing else matter. You got to get to the point that we get God's son. If I have his son, I'm good. I almost feel like preaching now because the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So if I got Christ, I got it all. Don't let the world confuse you. They think if you got money, you got it all. If I got girls, I got it all. If I got drugs, I got whatever. No. If I got Christ, I got it all. Because it comes with peace and eternal life.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Verse 33. Okay. Who can bring a charge against God's elect? Ooh. Who can? Paul's asking a question. He want to know himself. Who can bring a charge against? You know what a charge means? A charge means to have someone like put in jail. In prison, you know what a charge is. You know, you can't get a charge. You got to go see the judge. Who can charge God's elect? Paul right here is like, who can be successful in doing this? God has already declared us to be righteous. Can't nobody declare us anything else because God has already said it. Amen? And then he gets 34th verse. Then he says, who is he who condemns?
Mm-hmm.
To be condemned, to be sentenced. See, the charge was the charge. Now, to be condemned means to be sentenced, whether it's to be beaten, punishment, death, whatever it may be. But who is he who condemns? It is Christ. Look at this. Verse 34, it is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us.
Thank you, Lord.
Who condemns us?
Thank you, Lord.
The four reasons right here I got that the believer can never be found guilty. And he goes through them in a verse. It said, it is Christ who died. So if it is Christ who died, check that out. Christ's death makes nobody can make a charge against me. Because he died, whatever you said, is null and void. It don't even matter no more. Then Paul says, and furthermore, he is also risen.
Yes.
So now he's resurrected.
Uh-huh.
So now he got power from the grave, which means he gives me the power to fight over my sin.
Yes.
So then he says, I got power to fight my sin now. You can't bring a charge against me. And then it says, check this out. He's at the right hand of God. Woo! He's been exalted to a position that nobody can have or take from him. He's at the right hand of Father. So Jesus now, after he died, was buried, resurrected, he sits at the right hand of God. He ain't moving from that seat. And the last part, why you can't bring nothing against the believer, it says this, who also makes intercession for us.
Do you know Jesus praying for you right now?
Yes. Yes.
You ain't got a guardian angel. You got a guardian savior, amen. He's sitting right there at the throne right now. I know they messed up, Father God. I know they messed up, Father, but look at me. I'm right here. They said they sorry. They asked for forgiveness, Father God. Give them strength. He's making intercession for you right there at the right hand of God.
Amen.
Nothing gets better than that we know that our Savior is praying for us.
That's it.
Day in and day out.
That's it.
Hallelujah. We're going to get to verse 35 and 36 right here. It says this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Shall tribulation or distress?
That's it.
Or persecution?
Mm-hmm.
Or famine? Or nakedness? Or pearl? Or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
You got to understand this, Paul. This is when Christianity is moving now. It's just the first century. So you got the Roman centurion, the Roman guards don't like this new movement. This Jesus didn't mess them up. Now he rose from the grave. Stuff is really shaking down. So they are facing persecution. Later on, Nero's coming. And Nero was a cold-blooded emperor. He even beheaded Paul. Nero doesn't care. He even did all kind of evil things. Later on, blaming Christians. So Paul's kind of even forewarning them. Like, it's going to get worse, y'all. Because we believe in Jesus, it's going to get worse. But listen to what he says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Notice it didn't say, who shall separate Christ's love from us?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it don't say that. Because Jesus' love ain't going nowhere.
That's it. Amen. That's it.
But who shall separate you from the love of Christ?
Yeah, that's good.
Because his love ain't going nowhere.
Uh-huh.
He loved you. He died. He proved his love.
Uh-huh.
But what's going to separate us?
Wow.
What are we going to do? See, his love has been exemplified on the cross. So the question that we just always remain is, what am I going to let get in the way of me and Jesus? Look at the list that Paul gave. Let's look at the list. Tribulation. What is tribulation? Anguish or trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, trials is coming, y'all. Tribulation, trials is part of life. You're alive, you're going to face them.
That's
and
it.
You don't get to pick the trials you face.
Yeah, Jesus.
You don't get to pick that. You can't be God. You don't pick that.
Mm-hmm.
But I promise this, as long as you're alive and breathing, anguish and trouble is coming in one way, shape, form, or another.
Mm-hmm.
So is that going to separate us from the love of Christ?
Jesus.
Distress. Being burdened. Burdens are coming. That's why Jesus said, take up my yoke. Learn of me. For my burdens is easy and my yoke is light. Jesus came to take them burdens from us. He came to help us. But we get so burdened down when we lose focus off the Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're struggling and in trouble and can't get to where we need to be.
Jesus.
Persecution. What does persecution mean? It means to exterminate.
Get rid of them.
Call like this. They coming to kill y'all eventually. We in America, we ain't got so bougie.
Yeah.
So we don't face that kind of tribulation, so we don't think about it.
Uh-huh.
But it's people in China having church underground right now so they don't get killed. People in Egypt having church underground right now so they don't get their head chopped off.
Jesus.
So we don't know. We got free reign. How about that God feel? The country that can freely worship me won't even worship me. The company that can freely give me praise won't give me 2 hours on Sunday. The country that can freely give it all to me won't stand up for my righteousness. The country that can change the world won't do nothing. I'm not even sure America is a Christian country anymore.
Wow. That's it.
We need revival here.
Amen.
We have lost our way.
Yeah.
And countries, Africa, another place you see all these miracles, all these great things happen because they serving God. They loving God for real.
Yeah,
persecution is there. They're being faced. So is persecution going to take you out? Because we do face some persecution. Some people will try to make you deny your faith. Some people will make you feel wrong for being a Christian and not standing up for righteousness. But will you stand up? Or will you bow down to what they're doing?
Mm-hmm.
What is famine? Scarcity of food. Hard times. No food. Paul, there's going to be some hard times. Y'all going to be on the run. Y'all ain't going to have no food. Maybe our famine may not be food. Maybe it might be lack of money.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to separate us from the love of God? Naked is nudity. We don't have to face that, praise God. But they had to get to going sometimes. I ain't got time to grab no clothes. They come to get me today.
Wow.
I got to bust a move. Hop out the window. They going to kill me. Something that they faced in the first century, we don't have to face that. But what is peril? Danger and destruction.
Wow.
Yep. This is a list of things Paul's going to say. What's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Because we can't get away from these things. Danger and destruction. That's a bad combination right there. Then swords, people of having weapons. What is going to separate us from the love of Christ? Because Christ's love ain't separated from you.
That's it.
Then we get down here to Apostle Paul, that tent maker from Tarsus. Says these beautiful things right here in verse 37. Yet in all things, We are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Yeah, somebody should say that right there. In all things, we are more than conquerors. So if I'm more than a conqueror, that means I'm undefeated. That means I'm winning. That gives me the ability to be unbothered because I am more than a conqueror. Amen. So I am more, but I'm only more than a conqueror. Again, it's intentional. You got to look at the verse, through him who loved us. If I don't love him who loved me, I can't conquer.
That's true.
For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. Look at what he's saying. Death or life. Either way, I'm rolling with Jesus. I'm rolling while I'm here, and I'm rolling when I'm not in the grave. Nothing separate me from them, nor angels or principalities, evil forces in the world trying to take us out, trying to get us somewhere. Because you know, demons are real.
Yes, they are.
I can't believe in God in heaven and don't believe in the hell and demons.
Yeah.
Okay. Demons are real. They are real. I know. I'm probably stepping some toes real quick. And I don't care. Some of y'all probably listened to the Carter Five this week. Praise God. He do got a song called Demons on there. Demons on Demand. Why are you talking about that? Why do you have demons on demand?
Jesus.
But we would put this in our earbuds and let it speak to us. And get that stuff in our brain and in our spirit. Because music is powerful, y'all. You can't reject music.
That's right.
That's why you know songs you hate. That's another song y'all are playing. I don't know why y'all playing with me. No, you hate that song. And you can sing it all day. You hate it. Why? Because music is so powerful. It overpowers your brain. You can't reject it when the beat's to it.
That's it.
So you got to be careful. That's what helped me when I first got saved. I had to put the hip hop down. God delivered me from that. I came and gave away 200 CDs. I said, you know what, God? I don't want this no more. This stuff is in my spirit. How I'm going to stop cussing if I keep listening to cussing all day? How I'm going to quit smoking weed if I keep listening to people getting high all day? How I'm going to quit drinking? How I'm going to quit doing this? How I'm going to quit fornicating? If that's what I'm listening to all day, how am I going to do that? And we wonder why we got no power.
Jesus.
And we want to blame the devil. No, it's you and your music.
All right.
I ain't praying with me. It's all good. We'll deal with that another day. But no angels nor demons. Nor things present, nor things to come. He's saying nothing in front of me gonna stop me from worshiping Jesus, and nothing that's coming gonna stop me from worshiping Jesus.
Yes.
So my mind gotta be made up, y'all.
That's it.
I have to have my mind made up that I'm serving God no matter what.
That's it.
No matter who comes my way or whatever. Look at this. He says, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing created shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
So Paul is writing these words to the first century church, but also to us.
Yes, Lord.
Let us know that suffering should make us run to God and not away
that's
from
it.
God.
Jesus, that's good.
Suffering is not set up to make you run away from God. No. We was riding the car this morning, and I felt that in my spirit. Kirk Franklin said this, if you didn't go through the storm, you wouldn't even pray. If God didn't allow some storms in your life, you wouldn't even hit your knees. If everything was good and great, you wouldn't thank God, you wouldn't pray to God, you wouldn't cry until you keep living your life rolling how you're rolling. He got to allow the storm sometimes to get you back on track. Amen? So the list that Paul, the list that Apostle Paul gives us of experience, gives us of experiences are persons and people and things that can't separate us from the love of God. So Christ, God had went through, Paul had went through this problem. He experienced all this. Paul was beaten. He was whipped. He was put in jail. He had all these issues going on. Enemies were trying to, he had spirits coming against him while he was trying to do the work of God. So Paul had experienced all these things that he's talking about. So it's not just a theory, but it's personal testimony.
Yeah, that's it.
Woo.
That's good.
So you got to have a testimony. See, it's your testimony is how you're able to testify how good God is.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know, if he doesn't bring you out of something, how can you declare it to somebody else?
Jesus,
how do you know he's real?
That's good.
So Paul is writing, he's penning this inspired by the Holy Spirit, but he's giving my testimony. I'm thinking, like, you know what? I love God so much. I love Jesus so much. I don't care what it was. I'm gonna cover everything from A to Z, from everything on earth to everything in the universe to everything in heaven to everything underneath. Can't nothing separate me from the love of God, y'all.
Amen.
So being unbothered, check this out, I'm almost done, it's not about being fake and acting like things don't hurt.
Okay.
That's not, I don't want you to get it confused, don't get it twisted. Unbothered is not about being fake and acting like everything's okay when you broken inside. No, 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 sweetie, no, no, no. Because things hurt in life, amen. It's some pain sometimes, but it's about putting our faith and trust in the one that holds the world in his hands.
Yes,
I'm unbothered because even if I don't understand his plan, I know he's in control.
Yes,
even if it don't make no sense to me, God said, I know the plans I have for you. Thoughts of good, not of evil, but to give you future and a hope and an expected end. God knows what he's doing, so I'm unbothered because I know what he's doing.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Amen. I'm right here about to get ready to close. Oprah Winfrey was doing an interview with Elizabeth Edwards, who is now going to be with the Lord back in 2010. She was the wife of Senator John Edwards. Shortly after she was diagnosed with cancer, y'all, Oprah asked her, how you feeling? How was she feeling? That's what Oprah wanted to know. And Elizabeth responded that she was still experiencing a lot of pain from her broken rib. Oprah asked her about her cancer. Mm-hmm. How you doing? She said, I'm still experiencing pain from my broken rib. And she quickly added that, I thank God for my broken rib. Oprah's puzzled. Why are you thanking God for your broken rib? See, she said, I thank God for my broken rib because that's what led me to go to the hospital.
Wow.
Then which led me to get an x-ray.
Wow.
Which then led me to get a bone scan.
Well.
Which then led me to get a CT scan. Which then led the doctor to discover she had cancer.
Yeah.
And the doctor seen it early enough that they could fight it now.
Yes.
She told Oprah the broken rib was what put her in a better position to fight a bigger battle. Oh my. I'm unbothered about what's going on right now because I know what God is doing right now is preparing me for bigger battles. See, it doesn't matter with me. We won't experience some sense of brokenness in our life, y'all, but it's God's way of showing us mercy, and stress won't fix anything. God is either going to bring us out on earth or he's going to let us get to heaven and experience glory. Amen. So I'm unbothered. Why? Because he's Alpha and Omega.
Yeah.
I'm unbothered because he's beginning and end.
Yeah.
I'm unbothered because he's a bridge over troubled water. I'm unbothered because he leads in the midst of chaos. I'm unbothered because he's the author and finisher of my faith.
Yeah.
God has came. God loves us. And God wants us to be unbothered because he got us. We are in his hand. And can't no man pluck us out of his hand.
Yeah.
You got to praise. Amen.
Yeah.
Glory, glory to God. We thank you, O God. We praise you, O God. We worship you, O God. I thank you, Father God, for having your way today.
Yes, thank you.
We thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy.
Thank
I don't know where you stand in your relationship with Christ, but I do know this, that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So if you have not made a decision on making Jesus your personal Lord and Savior, what better day than today? God loves you. He ain't never stopped praying. He loves you. He's right there.